The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor, brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome. This week we are talking about the construction industry, and my guest is Richard Kendrick, Marketing Director of Leyland SDM. Richard, welcome back on the show. You've been on before, and last time you were talking about the farming industry, which is another industry people often don't know much about. So can you just give me a background? What is construction as an industry?
So construction is probably one of the broadest industries you can get into as a marketeer. It could be anything from offshore wind farms, solar panels, sustainable energy, replacing boilers as part of the Green 2042 strategy, or it could be helping the local brickies, being part of that merchanting team who's marketing bricks, insulation, dry lining to local small businesses, or you could be part of a marketing team for Persimmon or Kia. And therefore, you're talking to new house builders, new home purchasers, subcontractors, infrastructure like HS2 or nuclear. There are it's a myriad, absolutely huge industry covering all sorts of different aspects. And as a marketeer, actually, it's a really good one to get into because although it's huge, a lot of people really know each other and there's long-term relationships built in across the marketplace. So in terms of career, it's a great place for a marketeer to build a career. From a customer industry point of view, it's fascinating because there's so many different customer types.
Okay, so I'm getting the impression that we've got the sort of whopping great construction companies right the way down to sort of literally one person bands. So talk to me a little bit more about why it's such a customer focused industry.
Relationship is key, and it's key in two different ways. So if you're talking about the really big businesses like Balfour Beatty, Taylor Wimpey, businesses like those. So Balfour Beatty, there's a lot of infrastructure projects that they work on, whereas your Persimmon, your Taylor Wimpey, your David Wilson, that's your new build construction. And they're predominantly looking at large scale new house building and construction. With those companies, they are so huge and their contracts are so massive that service is really, really important. So if you're able to provide a great service, or through your marketing, you're able to, through case studies or testimonials, you can show that you do great service with a great human feel to it, and there's a real account management process and a face-to-face contact, then actually you can build a long-term relationship, because from their point of view, if anything goes wrong on the project, there's a lot of penalties that are built into a lot of the government infrastructure projects they work on. So they have to hit time and deadline, otherwise they get penalised, and that's a financial penalty. So if you are able to show that you're trustworthy and you have great service and you can adhere to a contract and deliver on time and in full and in the best way, then your account management and your service marketing will go a long way. On the flip side of that, if it's the smaller, your small builder who's perhaps got a couple of people in their gang, or maybe a roofer with a couple of people that work for them, that's all about who their local contact is, who's their local person in their local branch. Now, if you're working for a merchant like I did, or a distribution company, then that's about who's the person behind the service counter. How do they mate? What's the banter like? How can you change your tone of voice so that you're just talking like someone else down the pub? And build that contact, because they will then trust you, because actually it's money on their table. So it's food on their table, rather. So if they don't go and get a contract, and if that contract isn't fulfilled, or if their reputation is damaged, or if word of mouth spreads and like they get a bad review on Checker Trade, that's actually going to hit their order book because people will walk away. So you've got to be able to show you can support them as being a partner, but in a matey way. And in the big businesses, you've got to show you're a long-term partner with a great service record. So relationship is key. It's the key part of marketing for it.
Are there companies in the middle? Because we're quite polarised. We've got really, really big and one people group. So there must be a sort of middle tier.
There are, and they would be more regional builders. So they might do some subcontracting out to the really big people like Persimmon or Taylor Wimpey. And they might then also contract out the smaller groups, like the very small businesses we've just been talking about. So there is a sort of regional, larger construction company. They're not small. You're right. They're in the middle. They're not small. They're not big. But they still work within the same chain. So a lot of the big businesses will subcontract out their jobs to other people who are specialists. So they'll subcontract out to plasterers, roofers in particular. Roofing is a skilled business, so they will subcontract out to that because they don't want to touch it themselves. They have the they've got to make sure that anything they do on a new build can be guaranteed for 10 years and be signed off at point of construction, which means that their subcontractor level and the way they contract people is very, very important. And there's a very set process of how they do that. So you do get a middle band, but they act in pretty much a similar way to a smaller company, I think.
Is it fair to say construction is very people intense? Is that a reasonable assumption?
Yeah, it's very emotional. It's very much about, again, with the big businesses, that service element. It's not always about price because it's so much more expensive if they miss their contract deadlines than it is about paying more up front. So you have to make sure that you've got those people building those relationships. A lot of corporate events in construction, I mean, an awful lot of corporate events, making sure that loyalty is rewarded in the right way. And that's generally how it's seen because there's a lot of compliance around the Bribery Act. So this isn't about taking people on out on jollies to try and win business. This is about making sure that they always feel like their loyalty and their business with you is really well received and really appreciated so that you can take them out and show them that actually they're an important customer to you. So that service element and that people element is they're the two biggest parts. Very different to, say, before when we were talking to farming. They are very emotional. Farmers are very emotional. They like having that connection in terms of that relationship. But this is a whole different level of people.
I'm intrigued that you use the word emotional, because I think from a layperson's perspective, I wouldn't really think of emotions in with construction.
Yeah, I think emotions come in because when you look at particularly the smaller end of the construction industry, the work they carry out and the money they take in is basically the food on their table. So there's only really a few things that your general person in a van type builder wants to achieve, and that's they want a full order book. They want to know that when they work with a customer, work with a supplier, that the invoicing is going to be accurate and the products are going to be there, and if there's a quote, they're going to be able to hold to that. They want to be able to keep their reputation really high, because that's how they get most of their work, through word of mouth. And they want to make sure that they can get down the pub at a decent time each day. And those are really the kind of main motivators that will drive them. So if you can be part of the supply chain that helps them achieve that, I guess the other aspect is around regulations and warranties and things like that. So since Grenfell Tower, a lot of changes are starting to be put in as to how project frameworks are put together, how specifications are put together, and whether they can be broken or not. And so actually there's a lot around having to learn about the new regulations and the new building regs that come through, and they're coming through all the time. How easy is it for a builder to learn about that, or a person in construction to learn about that and to keep up to speed? There's a real problem with young people coming into the industry and teaching them in the right way, so apprenticeship schemes are really important. So all of that ties in, and if you're running a business, if you are that person that's doing that work, your skill is actually around doing the extension or doing the construction work. And then you've got to learn a financial skill and a business running skill on top of that, and the people management side of it and the people development. That's really hard. So as a marketeer, if you're working for a business that can supply or can provide solutions to that, like warranty packages or an academy or some sort of training, there's an association called the NFRC, which is the National Federation of Roofing Contractors. And they are very, very keen on making sure that they have standards in place where they can provide training to roofers so they can really get them up to speed. And that comes back to your question around emotions, that comes back to this idea of confidence in the work that's created. As consumers, we don't want a cowboy working on our house. We don't want to go and buy a new home that's been built by cowboys. We want, and we read it in the press all the time, so that dents our confidence. There was a Which report a little while ago now, but it's still valid, which report around about 2017, which stated that our least, as consumers, we trust construction the least. And of construction, we trust roofing the least. So whenever we get a roofer in, we assume they're going to give us a bad job. And that makes it a very, emotional industry.
I suppose, yes, from a consumer perspective, there is emotion, isn't there? Particularly if you're, you've either invited someone into your home to do some construction, or if you're being annoyed by construction on the street or in your local town. So there is, in fact, emotion in both directions.
That's right, yeah. And particularly with things like roofing, we used to get stories with SIG Roofing. We were told, we used to get stories all the time about people who'd been let down because a roofer hadn't come in. But for every one roofer that had done a bad job, there were another 10 roofers that did a great job and actually stepped in to rescue someone from having had a bad job done for them, because they really care about the reputation of their industry. Like I said, it's very much about word of mouth when it's that size of business. Now, on the flip side of that, when you talk about the really large businesses we were talking about before, that's all about crisis PR. So every time something goes wrong with one of their projects, that's across all of the news. Think about how often negativity has come out around HS2 or around new build homes, about the quality of new build homes, the number of problems, the fact that they now have to go to a 10-year warranty to be able to kind of give that reassurance. Well, all of that is then crisis management. It's all about poor PR and building and rebuilding confidence. So from a marketing point of view, again, it's emotional, because what we're buying is what we hope is our forever home. And if we get in there and it turns out it's falling apart, well, that's going to be a pretty emotional pull. It's the biggest purchase as a consumer. It's probably the biggest purchase we'll ever make in our life is a house. Mm-hmm. And if we've been let down on that because of the quality of construction, well, then that hits the news pretty quick. So both ends is an emotional pull. It's for the big businesses, it's trying to avoid that negative emotion that we have when we see bad work. The bottom end, it's because they own their business, they are their business, so they're emotional about it, and also their word of mouth, their reputation is their biggest order book filler. So that's really, really important, that kind of marketing, that element of the marketing mix where you're actually looking at the traditional marketing mix around people, process, and physical evidence. That's really, really important, because you're actually proving to other people that the service you're about to receive is great.
That's a very interesting part of construction that I hadn't thought about, but yes, you're right. I wanted to ask a little bit, we're talking at a time of supply chain issues and inflation and so on. How is that affecting construction, and how does construction cope with this, the industry?
We live in such a connected world now that sometimes the smallest impact on supplies has the biggest impact to the consumer at the end in terms of delays. So I know in the news you see a lot of stuff about the big delay on new car deliveries, but in construction we've been hit in a number of different ways across the board, right from the very beginning of COVID, it started with Brexit. So with Brexit we saw a lot of construction. The supply chain was hit pretty hard because of a lot of what we buy here, of course, is imported. And that tends to be, even if something is said it's made in the UK, well, often the raw materials are imported from abroad. And therefore you see a big impact on the supply chain. And then once Brexit had kind of fed through, you ended up with COVID. And because it is a commodities market, you end up with some people with different countries scalping. So for instance, timber, the impact on timber. So a lot of the roofing is all made up of timber batten. If you look at the internal walls on a lot of new build projects, that'll be timber carcassing. So timber is a massive part of the construction industry. And Russia decided to close its borders and prevent export. This is way before the Ukraine war. They decided to prevent any exports on timber, which meant that America then decided to buy all of their timber from Canada, which stopped everyone else buying their timber from Canada. So everyone else then bought all their timber from the Baltics, which then meant the UK couldn't get any timber. So the price of timber, if we were looking at a piece of roofing batten back in 2018, we'd be talking about 42 pence a metre. We're talking about a pound a metre now, which is a huge impact. Yeah. I mean, that's way more than the inflation we're seeing coming through as a national report. We're talking about over double the price. So if you're fitting 200 metres worth of batten on a roof, the price of that is so much more now as an impact of the overall project. And that was just timber. I mean, we had really weird things at certain points where we were ordering something called EPDM, which is a rubber covering for a roof. We were ordering that comes in a box. We couldn't put the box together because we had no staples. because the supply of staples was too low to put the boxes together, which meant we couldn't get hold of them. And that was if we could get hold of the raw materials to make the EPDM in the first place, because the main producer of that is in America, and they decided to prioritize, they only had a certain amount of supplies, and they decided to prioritize the car industry over the roofing and construction industry. So that meant there was less EPDM being made, less rubber. So stuff like that has a massive impact, which means then, of course, and remember I mentioned big penalties for large companies, they're now looking at, you know, massive lead times to try and prevent, you know, they've got to order way in advance and actually have a lot of help from their supply chain to actually manage that supply to so that they still avoid those penalties. So making sure they order plenty in advance, and that comes down to having a conversation with the business and good marketing to say if you've got the stock or not got the stock. Honesty is a really important part of that. If we look at the smaller businesses, they might quote on a project, and that quote might not land for 3, 4, 5 months while the homeowner decides that they've got the money or they've got the funds or they want to do that extension or not. And then by the time the extension goes to be put together and the materials are going to be purchased, the price has risen by 30%, which now means that that builder is now making less money than they quoted on. And they've got to honor the quote, but we would have had, you know, 4 or 5 price increases in between, which means that they're now struggling to maintain their profit, which again is food on their table. So inflation has been a huge thing. And inflation and just general supply hits have been really, really bad within the construction industry. And it's taken a lot of clever importing and clever management to get that through. Even things like if you remember when the ship was blocking the Suez Canal, that had a massive impact on the construction industry because there were hundreds of thousands of tiles waiting to be delivered. There was all the raw material for bricks. All of that was kind of getting stuck at the other end of the Suez Canal. It's been a rocky couple of years.
How does the company actually manage that? Do you put more profit into the quotes so that there's more fat in there in case the prices go up, or... How does it work? I mean, the construction industry has been through inflationary times before. What do you do?
I don't know that they've been through inflationary times quite like this before, because it's not just having the materials. So the materials themselves are scarcer and they're going up in price, but then also your inputs like electricity and gas and all the rest of it is going up as well. So you're getting it at both ends. I think from the danger that the smaller customers have is when they come to quote on a job, the majority of what they quote is labor. And actually the material part of it could be 30% of the quote. 70% is going to be their labor time. But it's marginal as to when you're looking at an extension, you don't just get one quote, you get several quotes. So if you do decide to load the quote up with to cover off the inflation, just in case it goes up, then you're now going to outprice yourself compared to your competition who might decide to take the hit instead and keep the work going. The interesting thing is that we're talking to a lot of contractors who are still talking about having full order books, and they're still very, very busy over the next, you know, for the next 6 to 12 months. They're quite happy with how their order book is looking. But how much profit they're making is a different question. With the larger companies, they try and pass on the costs, but again, they've pitched for a project like HS2 and there is a government budget that they are willing to accommodate, and now there are price increases coming in that will just erode margin the whole way down.
And presumably once you've pitched for that work, you have to keep going.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You can't just decide, oh, well, we're not going to do this. It's not profitable anymore. There will be penalties around that as well. So yeah, difficult time for construction, very fluid, very active if you're a marketeer, because you've got different messages you need to get across. You've got to maintain your strategy and deliver your business objectives, but at the same time, you've got to be very agile and make sure you're still, you know, reacting in the right way. In construction, depending on which part of construction you're in, if you're working with insulation companies or companies that are very much material suppliers or manufacturers, then the impact of the fallout from Grenfell Tower is also a big part of marketing at the moment, because the feeling around the failings around Grenfell Tower have actually been attributed to over-promising on what materials can achieve through poor marketing. So now there is a lot of pressure to put very tight marketing processes in place, so that it's very, if you are going to put a message out around marketing insulation, for instance, you can no longer say it is from X to Y in terms of tolerance. You can only give the lowest tolerance that's available. You cannot do overpromised marketing unless you've absolutely got the tests to prove that that is the case. So there's a big code of conduct coming through, which is putting a lot of pressure on marketeers to strip out any of the hyperbole and just stick to the factual, what can the product deliver?
Yes, I can see, because that sort of... So do you know when that code of conduct is coming in, or is that in now?
It's being phased through. There was a draft version of the code of conduct put through around about 6 months ago, maybe even as many as 10 months ago now. And it's a case of the draft is being consulted on. And once the draft has been consulted on and agreed, then there will be a construction sort of conduct authority that will look at marketing through construction and kind of assess whether or not it's meeting that code or not. And if you're not meeting that code, then there will be... the ramifications aren't going to be around anything... I don't think there'll be any sort of legislation coming from the government about it, but it will be a regulatory thing that will be built into agreements and frameworks to make sure that that marketing is in place.
Okay, so you started off by saying that construction was a really great place to be for a marketing career. So can we finish by actually looking at some of the careers that you can do in construction as a marketer?
Yep. So if I look at my time at SIG, so I started as in SIG Exteriors as marketing manager for the roofing brand, and within that team I had an assistant, a social media specialist, and a marketing executive. If I look at that team now, there are product marketing managers. You've got different types of executives, so brand executives, social media executives. You've got an assistant role. There's a number of different things you can do. So you can go in at a very entry, you can really start right from the very bottom, learn your craft, and then there is a lot of support around qualifications, etc. So a lot of the larger companies pay a lot of money into the apprenticeship schemes. So getting marketing apprenticeships is a good thing, and actually is construction's a good place to go for a marketing apprenticeship. And because of the nature of the department, you end up working on a wide range of different topics. You will be looking at brand, you'll be looking on traditional and so what I call bricks and clicks. You'd be looking at your traditional marketing and your online marketing. And you'd be, there's such a wide range you can look at, all the way up to director or chief marketing officer. So you get the full range of every single different level of marketeer.
Richard Kendrick, that was absolutely great. Thank you very much indeed for your time and your expertise on the construction industry.
Thank you very much.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.